Okay. So. So it is good to be back. A lot of things have happened since our last episode. Way more gigantic world events than we thought would occur in just a few short weeks. But I guess we shouldn't have been too surprised considering how life has been recently.
Yeah, and that this whole last administration was such a garbage fire. Like, it seems like anything that could go wrong with them went wrong.
But, like, okay, I love that we can say last administration and talk about it in the past tense.
True.
Like, it's such a relief. Like, I mean, you and I were talking about this, like, offline, but, like, it's just, I can't help but feel, like, this immense, like, weight and pressure has been lifted off of me. And I think that it is important for all of us to really just take that deep breath and allow ourselves to feel that relief. Like, I was seeing a lot of chatter on Twitter about how, like, essentially, well, things still suck and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, I know. I know they still suck. I'm very aware of this. But also, can we take just, like, a day to celebrate the fact that things might suck a tiny bit less?
I was going to say, you got to watch out for, like in saying that, you got to watch out for the haters who are going to be like, no, everything sucks still. There's still work to do. And it's like, no one's saying they're not. We're not in the crowd of people who's like, well, racism is over now. Like people are doing that. People were doing that when Obama became president.
Well, yeah. But they, like, grab onto any excuse they can not, so that they don't
have to do anything else. But no, we know full well that things are not over. Nothing is done. Other than we got Trump out of the White House right now.
Which I feel is a huge victory. We need to be proud of the fact that he's gone. I wasn't really sure that he was going to be gone.
We weren't sure he was going to be gone. So that's definitely good. But I mean, how much power has he lost? Because I feel like even though he's not the president anymore, he still has these rabid fanboys still losing their shit. Like, I saw on Twitter, like, right before we started, they were talking about a third of the country doesn't want us to rejoin WHO and the Paris Climate Accord.
Yeah, no, I get it. Like, his followers are very much still out there, and they're very much still frothing at the mouth, and honestly ready and willing to do violence. But they no longer have a champion in the White House. And they no longer have Congress. Like, I mean, I think that's another huge win. Like, having the Senate majority right now is amazing. Like, I remember back when Trump was first elected, there were a lot of news stories about how really, really difficult it was ever going to be to take back the Senate just because of the way, districting is in those... Not districting, but just, like, the way, like, the political landscape of states that we would want to try to capture and, like, how difficult it was going to be. But a lot of people did a lot of hard work, and now we have the Senate again. And I think that that is also something to be celebrated.
Yeah, I suppose.
Like, and I know that, like, a lot of Democratic senators leave something to be desired. Mm-hmm. But I also feel that they aren't as overtly, like, actively trying to hurt a lot of people. So I think that that is a little bit of a win.
I'm trying to figure out what I say. I feel like you said it all.
Well, we could talk about the inauguration.
Well, which part?
Yeah, I mean, and the insurrection.
All right, so do you want to go backwards in time? Or do you want to go chronologically how these things happen?
Well, isn't that the same?
Hmm?
By backwards in time, don't you mean, like, starting at the beginning?
No, I mean starting at the inauguration.
Oh, I don't care.
Starting at the inauguration and then doing the insurrection. Okay, so this is totally off, not off topic, but it's not as politically motivated, but I was talking to Nogan this morning about at the inauguration, everyone was talking about Kamala's stepdaughter's jacket.
Oh, the one with all of the sparklies on the shoulder?
Yeah, I fucking hate that jacket.
Really? I thought it was pretty.
It was okay, but I went, like, the press was just going crazy. Oh, she's the hands-down fashion star of the... It's like, no. No, there were so many other better-dressed people. Fuck out of here.
Yeah, no, I did see those headlines, too, and I was like, okay, whatever. But I thought that the jacket was cute, and it is some, like, you know, this is kind of, like, my style with, like, the sort of collar that it has and stuff like that, and I like a little bit of sparklies.
That was a lot of sparklies, though.
It was like a lot of sparklies.
The whole top of the jacket.
But I liked how it did kind of, like, a fade off of it.
I hated it.
It wasn't
cut of the jacket with the, like, my brown jacket that I had for years and years. It was like a similar cut without the stupid big giant collar that I hate. That looks like I know you like school marm from 1800 chic to an extent. Like, I've seen those shoes that mm-hmm. you were liking, but like it was just a garbage mess to me. It's like if without. Without the tacked on bedazzling, it's okay. But they felt the need to tack on all that tacky shit, and I'm not into it.
Oh, I guess I'm tacky because I liked it.
Maybe a little bit. who else was there? Lady Gaga and her ensemble. Like, when I saw her go up, I was like, if that stupid bird was not life size, that it would have been okay. But I didn't see her bottom half. Which was essentially like a ball gown or some shit. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Why?
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that outfit.
And then I was wondering, like, how do they get these people to perform in the first place? Like, did they...
They ask them?
They ask them? Or do they ask the people if they can do it? Like, did Gaga ask the Biden administration if she could do it?
No, I would imagine more that the organizers of the inauguration would... reach out to potential entertainers.
Just like, why couldn't they get someone better than these two people? Like, they weren't the worst, but there are better people who could have done this.
Who would you have chosen?
Literally anyone else. Like, I was thinking, I was like,
you would have chosen Kid Rock?
Maybe. I would take him over Jennifer Lopez.
Oh my God. Yeah. All right, now you're just being contrary.
I would take him over Jennifer Lopez, who is not really a singer to
No,
begin with.
You are insane.
No, I'm not.
Kid Rock?
Yeah.
He's a Trumper.
I mean, if he would agree to do it, then that would mean he's willing to bridge the gap, hearts and minds.
No, he's just going to go up there, and then he's going to psych you out at the last minute and just fart in the microphone.
I'm talking in hypotheticals if he wasn't going to be. Not like I'm taking his Trump supporterness out of it completely. Like, when I made that decision, I wasn't even considering that.
Okay, you're still wrong, but all right.
I'm not.
You are like insanely crazy right now.
It just, instead of whatever that was that she did, he could just sing American Badass, and that would be better than what she did. And that's not even a good song.
No, it wouldn't. He is objectively terrible.
She's not great either.
Yeah, but not great is better than objectively terrible.
It's about the same.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
You are
it
insane.
It depends on who you talk to. I'm not insane. She's just not great.
All right, well, I want it.
Are you secretly a J-Lo fan?
No, not at
all. Do
you
have, like, copies of her movie?
I don't even... Oh, well, no way. I did watch The Cell. I know that she's in that movie.
Well, that doesn't count. That movie is good, and it would be good with anyone in that role. Like, she brought nothing
okay, well,
to the
that,
movie.
Okay, that's the only movie that I know that she's in.
It's some other movie, like Glow or some
well,
shit
Well, it just
like
sounds
that.
Like you know more about J-Lo than I do. I just want it on the record that Shay is
a secret
Kid
J-Lo
Rock fan
here.
Not so secret Kid Rock
I'm
fan,
not.
Since she is openly advocating for him.
That's what you suggested.
Yeah,
so I
as
just
the
said
worst.
Yes, and I went with
as
it.
The worst. It was the worst thing I could think of, and you just sailed right on into it headlong.
No.
He disgusts me.
It's like if you suggested anyone else, I would have made it work because I just wanted anyone that was not Jennifer Lopez.
I mean, what's the, like, why do you, like, I have zero opinion about her. Like, I have, like, I'm completely neutral, but it seems like you have, like, you harbor some deep-seated hatred for her, and I don't know why.
It's not hatred. It's just, like, what's the word? I just don't think she's that great. It's one of those people, this is, like, a totally different, this could be a different episode. But it's just one of those people who's just, like, super famous for being, like, middle-of-the-road mediocre, and it's just, like, why?
I mean, lots of people are that way, though.
I know, and I have problems with those people, too.
Okay.
But she's just the example that's at hand.
So, I just wanted to know your opinion, then, of what was his name? Garth Brooks. Like, he was a singer there,
I
too.
I didn't see him.
You didn't?
I didn't see. No, I had to go do something, and when I came back, he was running around hugging people, and I was like, sir,
he was like,
please stop.
He was a huge goober.
Nogan kept calling him an excited puppy.
Like, he, like, I don't, like, this is just me and the type of person that I am, but, like, I don't like it when singers try to do, like, audience participation. It's like, no, I've paid to be here to make you do that. Like, I don't want to sing. I'm not here to sing. You're here to sing. I want to see you sing. And so he did, like, an audience participation thing, and it just felt like extreme cheese to me. I didn't like it.
Did anyone participate?
I mean, I couldn't tell. Like, it seemed like no one was, but it could have just been the way that it was mic'd.
But also, they're not supposed to be singing and making a lot of noise because pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that, I, like, felt that was weird, too. It's like everyone was just, like, singing through their masks or something. It's like, whatever.
But I feel like when people do that, it's, like, the same kind of thing. It's like being in church. It's like they have essentially the spirit, but for the music. And I know that applies, that appeals to, like, a certain kind of person. But obviously, that is not you or me.
No, I'm not into that.
Like, I can understand it. It's just not my thing.
Mm-hmm. So, but, like, I mean, other than our quibbles about the fashion and the music, although clearly you have more quibbles than I do, like, I thought it was nice. I was really happy and relieved to see them sworn in.
Mm. I was glad it happened without, like, incident.
Yeah, no, I had so much anxiety earlier that week because, I mean, people are fucking insane.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just really worried that it was going to be yet another catastrophic life event that I was going to have to live through.
Yeah, we had enough. We've been through enough. In this 30-something year span that we've been alive, like, a ton of shit has happened.
Yeah.
Time to stop. Time to slow down a little bit.
Just a little bit. Like, I feel like I'm at the end of my ability to, like, weather these storms.
Makes sense.
I mean, so I guess, like, we should touch on the fact that insurrectionists stormed our capital. Because we didn't get to talk about that.
Is that what they're officially being called now?
I mean, I hear them called that in, like, NPR and New York Times and stuff like that, so.
Okay. And just a bunch of crazies, a bunch of entitled snowflakes.
Well, and, like, extremely violent people, too. Like, actively going there to try to assassinate Congress people.
Which I feel like the news has not picked up on that much. Like, they're not talking about that enough.
I mean, I see lots of articles about it in, like, the New York Times and stuff like that. I don't know, like, how much, like, TV news is talking about it.
I don't read the New York Times because I'm over my limit. But, but, like, it took a long time for them to, like, start putting that out. It, like, took too long. It's, like, on Twitter, that stuff was, like, immediate. Like, of course, Twitter is, like, you know, it's, like, the worst kind of media sharing, and that stuff comes out fast, and there's, like, no thinking on it, and, like, things have to be taken back, like, quicker than the regular news. But with, like, pictures speak 1,000 words. It's, like, you see the guys with the zip ties and shit and looking like SWAT, and it's, like, they're not there to protest. That's very clear.
Yeah, no, and I get that. I guess I just always like approach it with like things being tweeted out, like, okay, like that it that may have happened, and I like take that into consideration, but I always wait for confirmation from major news outlets. And honestly, like, I do appreciate them like making sure they have all the facts before making a declaration. Like, if I want like immediate analysis where not all the facts are in yet, but this is just kind of what we think is happening, then that's what I turn to Twitter for. But if I want like an actual, like, this is what happens, then I wait for it to be confirmed by NPR or the New York Times.
But I feel like they get half of their shit from Twitter anyway.
Yeah, but they do a lot of fact checking to make sure that it's accurate.
I don't know. Like, the Twitter sources, it's not like they're regular people for the most part. I feel like, I don't know, it's just whatever your preferred method is, because it's not like New York Times has never had to write a retraction.
Absolutely. But they've had to write fewer retractions than random Twitter people.
It's not typically random people. It's like people who were there, like reporters and whatnot.
No, I agree. It's just that, like, I appreciate their firsthand accounts, but I like it when I can go to NPR or New York Times and not just see one firsthand account, but all of them stitched together to have a more complete picture of what happened.
That's not how it works on Twitter, but I get, like I said, it's whatever your preference is. So how do you want to segue this into adulting?
I don't know.
All right, so I guess the segue could be into our topic of the day, which is adulting. Could be how I hate that as an adult, I feel obligated to keep up with any of the shit.
Yeah, I feel that, like, I don't know, like, for me at least, now that this administration has left, like, I don't feel such a, like, life and death need to keep up with it. Like, I'm still, like, reading the news every day, but I'm not, like, obsessively checking to make sure that, like, something catastrophic hasn't happened in the last hour since I've checked it, and that, like, I need to prepare for, like, death or destruction.
Oh, I feel like that's still a threat, just for different reasons.
Yeah, but it's, like, I just feel that there's not as much, like, unfettered chaos anymore.
Hmm.
Which is a relief.
Well, like, what's an example of unfettered chaos?
Well, it's just, like there were so many things, like, policies that the administration would try to enact and then retract and then try to enact again, and then it would be, like, countered by the courts, and then something else would happen. It would just be, like, all of this stuff all the time to try to keep up with it. And usually it would be something incredibly damaging that you were hoping, like, you know, that policy wasn't enacted.
So, like, when you said chaos, I was thinking more of, like, the human cost and how the public acts in regards to these things happening.
How do you mean?
Like, just like, this is going to be, like, me beating a dead horse with this, probably for this episode, if we stay on the politics topic. But, like, just his people and how they react to literally anything happening that was something that he did not want.
Mm-hmm.
Or something that he put out and then got retracted. I feel like, I don't know. Like, I'm just, like, I can't relax. I just feel like they're going to, I don't know if it's going to be worse, but they're still going to be behaving very poorly for, like, the next 4 years.
Yeah. No, I definitely think that that is the case. Like, I think that, like, my period of relaxation right now is just that, like, I thought that there was a really good chance that something really terrible and tragic could happen on Inauguration Day. And the fact that it didn't, like, just, I feel like I have a little bit of a breathing room now.
Mm.
It's like, there's still very likely that something terrible is coming. But we had that day, at least, where something terrible didn't happen, which is just a relief.
Mm-hmm. Did you, I saw this thing, like, I swear, we'll get off of politics in a minute, but I saw this thing, and it was talking about how he was threatening to start a MAGA party.
Oh, it's like the Patriot Party or something like that.
Like, the term used was MAGA. But, it reminded me of, like, when he got in there. Like, to my recollection, what could be, you know, faulty. He wasn't initially running as a Republican to begin with. He was, like, Tea Party, and then he became his own thing, and then the Republicans just threw their support behind him. Is that what happened?
Well, he couldn't have run in the Republican primaries if he wasn't running as
a Republican. But did he run in the primaries?
Yeah, well, that's how he secured the nomination.
I don't know. I'll look it up myself for my own information, but it just seemed like when he initially came on the scene, he was not saying that he was a Republican. It seemed like it was like really strongly Tea Party. And then like Tea Party, I don't know, did Tea Party get absorbed by the Republicans?
Tea Party, to my knowledge, like they refer to themselves as that, but they run as Republicans.
Mm.
Like you see, like there's like Tea Party congressmen or something like that, but their actual designation is Republican. It's just like a subset of Republicans.
Mm. Writing that down. Because it seemed like for the longest time, like they did not want to embrace him until it felt like they didn't.
Oh, absolutely didn't have a not. Choice. Yeah. But he was still running in the Republican primaries. Remember, it was like 500 people in the Republican primaries.
Yeah.
It was like this clown car.
I feel like that's what it was like for the Democrats, too, though.
Oh, for sure. Or what was that lady's name? Marianne, I can't remember her last name. Williamson.
Who is that? No.
Do you remember her? Marianne Williamson. She was one of the people in the Democratic primary. She's like all like woo-woo and like out there and like
weird. I don't remember her at all. Like what was her gimmick?
Oh man, she was like very like peace and love of the universe sort of thing. Like, she's, like, I think she wrote, like, self-help books or something. I don't know. She was just a very odd duck.
Sounds like it. Like, I honestly don't remember a lot of the
people. She was one of my favorite. Well, like, I feel like half of them were all interchangeable. Like, they were, like, nobodies. And they all basically looked the same. Like, they were all just, like, old white men.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I, like, didn't really know who they were. Like, they may have been like governors or something like that, or senators of different states. But I was like, I don't know who you are. Like, I don't know what you've done to recommend yourself.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, Buttigieg, however the fuck you say this man's name, what did he do to recommend himself?
Not a whole lot. I mean, he was kind of shitty exactly. at everything
he did. So, like, and then, like, he's got this position in the cabinet, and I'm just like, why? Why, though?
I don't know. I mean, I think that, like, obviously for some cabinet positions, if not a good majority of them, they're political appointments.
Mm-hmm. Do you think he, like, offered Sanders one, and he's just like, nah? Or did he just snub Sanders altogether?
I have no idea.
I feel like he's too much of a politician to just snub him outright.
Yeah, I mean, Sanders may just want to stay in the Senate.
Yeah.
Like, I know that, like, there's been talk of him, like, heading up some of the committees in the Senate now that the Democrats have majority.
Can we talk about that meme and how it's tired?
Yeah. I mean, it was funny in the beginning, but now I just feel like everyone's trying to cash in on it, and they're just, like, scraping the bottom of the barrel. Like, I haven't seen any funnies for a while. And my crazy uncle on Facebook has also gotten in on it, which means it's really over. It's over.
Like, I don't know. It wasn't hitting right for me. Like, none of them made me, like, laugh out loud, really, except for, like, one or two. And that was, like, on the first day. And then, like, everything after that was just like, okay, all right. Y'all still doing this? Okay. Like, hopefully by next week it's dead.
Like, Tara and I were talking about that just last night, about how, like, we're over it now. It's like just when we think that it's over, like there's like some other one that like crosses our timeline and we're like, God damn it. Because it's just like, no, like they're not like it's we've exhausted the subject.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't see that there's any other way that you can have a fresh take on this subject anymore. So it's over.
That Pokemon one I showed you, that was the peak one for me. That was the most entertaining to me. Two Beards showed me one like the first day that I forgot that I even acknowledged that was the peak for him. And it was like one made out of yarn. Like they totally recreated Bernie Sanders.
Oh, yeah. They yeah. crocheted it. Yeah.
I was like, okay. He's like, for him, that was the peak.
I don't know what I would consider my peak.
If you haven't found it, it's not over.
Honestly, like a lot, I don't have like a lot of, like none of them are particularly memorable to me. Like I may have gotten like a chuckle out of one or two, but I don't remember what they mm-hmm. are. I know I found some of them funny. I remember finding some of them funny. I just don't remember which ones they were.
Bad meme. It's not a great meme. Like it was a funny picture in and of itself, and I feel like it should have just stayed that rather than
yeah
trying to be memed.
Well, like I said, like once my uncle got in on it, like it was over.
What was his meme? Like I'm sure it was some ugly right wing thing.
I don't know. He's like reposting shit. Like let me pull it up. Cause like obviously he's getting there from other places. Like he's not making them himself.
Of course.
He has one. I think this is from Dumb and Dumber, where he's like Jim Carrey. He's like on a bicycle. And Bernie's behind him. And then there's one with Kid Rock. I don't understand what's going on with that one.
You said me? Is that why you mentioned Kid Rock earlier?
No, I've like, this is the first time I've seen it. Like, I haven't checked his Facebook today.
Oh, because he's on the floor. So it's looking like he beat him up and took his mittens.
Oh, is that what? They're okay. Okay, there's a Michael Jackson one. Do you remember that picture where he's like dangling his baby?
Yes.
Except he's, like, dangling Bernie. He's sitting on the couch with all of the Golden Girls. He's in bed with one of the Golden Girls.
Yeah.
He's holding a Recall Gavin Newsom sign. He's in, like, The Shining when Jack Nicholson is frozen in the snow at the end. Bernie's next to him. He's in the white Bronco that O.J. Simpson was in. He's being chased. There's a Gangnam Style one.
Ew, is that? That's nuts.
He's on... I told you, it was a lot. I can keep going. No. I can keep going.
Well, maybe one more.
He's on, like, a dog sled. The kid from Sixth Sense says, I see Bernie everywhere, and he's outside the window.
Dumb. These are dumb.
There's a Big Bang Theory one.
Ew. That's bottom of the barrel. I was going to say, they don't got nothing else to do, but it's a pandemic, so they really don't. Too many.
Yeah, I told you, it's dead. He killed it. My uncle killed it. Specifically him.
There you go. Blame him.
So, like, in terms of the, like, just the, our actual topic of the day, of adulting, like, I feel that over the past year, adulting, I guess, like, being, like, on top of my shit and being responsible has been exponentially harder.
Mm-hmm.
I, at the risk of this sounding like a therapy session, like, I just feel like I have not been nearly as efficient or effective, and like, it's hard for me to focus, and it, like, really frustrates me. Like, I... like, know that I'm not getting as much done as I used to, like, at work and stuff like that. And it's just, it's really frustrating to me. Like, it's like, I feel myself slipping. And, like, you know, like, just the kind of person I am and how annoying that mm-hmm. would be to me. And so it's just, like, it's really annoying because it's, like, I'm aware of it. But there's also, like, not a whole lot I feel I can do about it. Like, it's just, like, I'm running on empty, and I got nothing.
I was going to say, like you said to me, it's everyone, though. Everyone's suffering from this right now because of the pandemic. Like, no one is really, except for maybe some rich asshole somewhere, are running at, you know, maximum capacity.
Yeah, I know. But it's easy to dish that advice out and it's harder to take it for oneself. And, like, I feel like I already, like, I went into this, like, already, like, semi-fractured. Because, you know, like, Loki had died in January. Like, I just came out of all of that.
Yeah.
And so it was, like, I already was, like, really stressed out and maxed out. And then all of this shit happened. And it's just, like, I feel like I haven't been able to, like, catch a break in years.
Yeah. I mean, your particular situation is rougher than most. But, I mean, that just means that you should not be kinder, because that sounds like a platitude. But you should take that into account. That you're start, like, let's say everyone else was starting at zero when the pandemic hit. You're starting at, like, negative 20. And you're just getting pushed, like, further down.
Yeah.
Like, you're starting with a definite deficit of being able to deal with this.
It's just, like, it's hard because then I get frustrated with myself.
Yeah.
Like, and I know that I shouldn't. But it's just, like, when I, like, can see that, like, what I'm doing, like, isn't as good as it could be. It's just, like, come on. What the fuck is wrong with you?
I'm the same way.
But, I mean, even, like, adulting in general, but, like, before all of this, has been difficult.
Yeah.
Like, we were mentioning just a little bit before, like, people in our age bracket have gone through a bit more just in terms of crazy world events than most.
9/11. Like, that's my earliest memory of shit hitting the fan in a way that I did not think was possible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's probably something before that that's escaping me.
Well, I remember, like seeing, like, news coverage of, like, the various, like, wars that we were involved in and stuff like that. But I was, like, young enough that I wasn't really plugged into that very much.
Yeah, same. It's like, yeah, I hear it, but it's like it didn't mean anything to me at the time.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, I was in my senior year. Like, you were too, right?
For which?
Or were you in for 9/11? Or yeah. Were you in your junior year?
It was senior year.
Okay.
That was, like, so, I don't know. Should we do an episode on that? I remember where I was and just it not feeling real. Like, people were talking about it, but at the time, this was not a time everyone had access to cell phones, and let alone smartphones.
Mm-hmm.
So news was just trickling in from people getting calls from other people. And someone was, like, worried about their mom and all this other shit. And I was just like, the way people were talking about it, because I didn't know what was going on, it seemed like they were talking about it abstractly. Like, what if this happened? Not, oh my God, this actually happened. Mm.
Well, it had to be, like, more immediate for you, too, because, like, you're actually in New York.
Well, where I was, like you couldn't see anything from there. Like, I was too far from the city. But, like, when I walked home from work, I mean, not from work, from school, I noticed something was different. Like, I think I mentioned this before, where I walked home from school, which I did every day, and there was no one out. Like, how people, like, show these videos of, like, empty streets from, like, COVID, because mm-hmm. everyone's sheltering in place and staying at home. It was like that. And oh, wow. I was so confused, and I was starting to get scared, because, like I said, I had no idea what was actually going on. And then I get home, and
did they, like, shut down school?
No.
Oh, okay.
And then I get home, and the whole rest of my family's at home. Like, no one came to get me. No one said anything to me.
They, like, picked up your brothers, but they didn't pick up you?
Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
Why?
I don't know.
Seems like a conversation to have.
Yeah. Like, the surviving parent doesn't remember, because that's her answer for everything. Everything I try to bring up. There you go. That's it. Being an adult is letting shit like that go. And that sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, it's just, like, it's not productive to hold on to when it's not going to change the past.
Like, I would love to know why. Like, I would love to know what happened there, but I have no way of getting answers. So I just have to let it go as a shitty thing that happened.
Mm-hmm.
With all the other shitty things that just happened.
Like, in my high school, like, I was still there. Like, I, you know, wasn't pulled out of school, which makes sense. I'm on the other side of the country. But it's like basically like everything was shut down. We were just like watching TV all day and like watching the coverage of it.
Mm.
I do remember this isn't like a like world event, but like my mom treated it as such, which was like really odd to me. Like she woke me up in like it must have been like super early morning or like middle of the night. It was like at an odd hour to let me know that Princess Diana had died. And I'm like, I don't care.
Did she think like, that you cared about her? Did she think you were a fan?
I don't know. No, I had never talked about her. like the royal family has no impact or interest to me. Like, I do not care about them. And so it was just like very odd that she woke me up to let me know
that. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, I was like, okay. Like, what do you want me to do?
That's odd.
Maybe she cared and like she like wanted someone to like talk to about it, but I'm like, I'm a child.
That's what I was
like,
thinking.
Let me go back to sleep.
That's what I was thinking. That's weird. I forgot that was a thing that happened. Like, I also do not care about any of that. So I forgot that was, but that, I guess to someone that cares, that's something else that happened in our time period.
Yeah.
Our lifetime. But to stick around the topic of like stuff that happened when we were kids, like, were you one of those kids that, like, I can't wait till I'm an adult until I'm grown up and I'll get to do this, that, and the fifth?
To a certain extent, I guess. Like, I mean, you know, I had ideas for what I would be and do as an adult. Like, it would be nice to be able to, like, close my door as an adult. Since I wasn't allowed to close my door as a child. You know, like, those sorts of dreams.
I really want to know what the fuck that's about, too.
Control.
I guess, because it's like obviously different backgrounds, opposite sides of the country, same problem.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, is it a dad thing?
I guess, but it's like, where does it come from? Like, what is it based on? If you know this, the answer to this, why fathers don't let doors be closed in their fucking houses, someone please answer. Please let us know.
Well, like, was your dad, like, did he do the same thing to your brothers, or was it just you?
It was just me. Like, honestly, I don't know what happened after I left the house and I was in Pennsylvania for school, but I know it was, like, there were times where I was, like, in the room by myself. I would be, like, changing clothes or something, or just sitting and just wanting a moment of quiet, and then just kicking the door in, essentially. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, I don't remember him doing the same thing to my brother. I, like, remember it just being me. Oh, it would make me so mad. Like, it was, like, an instant way to just, like, fill me with rage. Because it's just, like, I'm not doing anything that you need to be aware of right now. Like, I'm just, like, sitting here, like, reading or, like, minding my business. Like, what is wrong with you? Like, go, like, busy yourself somewhere else. Like, because clearly I'm busying myself. So, like, go fucking do something that doesn't involve, like, peeping on me.
Another thing with that, like, I don't know what the issue was with that, but I guess it was another control thing, just to talk about it real quick. It was like, I was not, like, we had a washer and dryer, and we had, like, access to, like, you know, a stove and all that stuff, like most people. But it's like, I could not use these things unless I was doing something for someone else as well.
Oh, really? That's weird.
Like I couldn't wash my own clothes. I could not make my own food unless I was going to be cooking for someone else or washing someone else's clothes. And so. Why? I was definitely one of those kids that was like, I can't wait to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
But I hate all the other stuff that comes along with that, which is bills and debt and working for someone else every day and having to do things you really don't feel like doing.
Yeah. But I mean, it's like there are good trade-offs. Like, I mean, as a child, I would not have had the disposable income that I have to drop an unwise amount on plants like I did yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nice. No one telling me not to do that, although maybe they should have.
Plants and the dress-up game.
Yes. Yes. Oh, man. My parents never would have let me spend money on the dress-up game. Which they shouldn't let me. They shouldn't have let me. Like, I would agree with them on that. Like, it's a complete waste of my time and money. But It's my time and money to waste.
Listen, I feel if you're enjoying it, it's not a waste of time. I am or enjoying money. It. Like, it's not like you're just dumping it into a hole and then walking away from it. Like, you've been playing this game for like almost 2 years or something.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, it's not a waste.
No signs of slowing down.
It's an investment in your own well-being. I guess that's something that comes with being an adult, being able to look at things in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Perspective. Or you can look at it and also say it's enabling. My enabling skills are top notch.
Yeah, well, I enable you too, so yeah. We enable each other.
If you're a parent listening, don't be this kind of parent. The parents we're describing, don't do this. Okay, so to get back on the topic, where did you think you would be at this point in your life, if you had that kind of forethought?
I guess, like, I thought that I would have, like, I would own a house by now. And, like, I guess I probably thought that I would be married or something. I don't know that I had, like, really, like, concrete ideas of what being an adult was other than that.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
Mine were different. But, like, my forethought, my future thoughts stopped at, like, graduating college.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I just had nothing because, like, I think in part was my situation that I grew up in where it's just I couldn't think past that. Because it was like, they didn't even want to let me go to college for what I wanted to go to college for.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like trying to figure out how to do what I wanted to do. It was like the primary thing. But it was like, go to college, graduate college, get a job. That was it. Like, everything else was open-ended. Like, what I wanted more so was, I guess, what I'm doing, which was to be able to write. To the extent that I'm able to do it. But, you know, that was not an easy thing for me to do to get to this point.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes as far as it goes. But just, like, I try to remember that. Like, on hard days, I was like, this is what you wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not easy to get here, so make the most of what you can, while you can.
I guess, like, especially... when I first started out, like, I thought that by this time I would be a tenured professor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't think that I would be working at the state for this long.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, it's like my career now. I mean, like, I can't see myself going into another field.
If something more appealing dropped in your lap and it was not a high risk, would you explore it?
I mean, I guess, like, it would have to, like, I'm not sure what that would be. Like, it's honestly, it's always the risk that is, like, the biggest detractor. Like, if I had, like, a partner's income or something like that, that, like, if, you know, if I tried something out and it didn't totally pan out, that I would be able to rely on them for a little bit, then it would be easier, you know, to try something new.
Well, like, what I'm talking about is, like, let's say you get a job at a nonprofit that is stable. And by stable, I mean it's been around for, like, 200 years. And you have a contract job with a clause that you can't be fired. Like, they just have to work out kinks with you for, like, 3 years. Would that be appealing?
Maybe.
Maybe. Why maybe?
Well, because it's like 3 years isn't a long time.
Well, after the 3 years, you revisit it and see if you still want to do it and if they still want you there.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. There's a lot of factors I would have to consider.
Like what else?
Including like salary and retirement and like, I guess like hours they would expect me to work.
Hmm. But it's like, but knowing you, it's like hours they would expect you to work and then hours that you would actually put in. They would be different.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it would be. But it's just, like, I, knowing people who work in the sorts of nonprofit fields that I would be interested in, it's like they're 24/7. Like they just don't stop. And like I feel that me like 5 or 6 years ago could have done that, but that's not me now.
Mm. Is it 24/7 in that they're expected to be available 24/7, or do they just commit themselves to 24/7?
I mean, I don't know what the actual expectations of their company are. I just know that's the culture.
And are their positions the same thing that you would want to be doing? But that's also a factor.
Certainly, yeah. Like in like the like I think about like working at like those PBS stations, you know, like doing like professional development and doing, I still like would like to be in education. Like I feel really passionate about that subject. Mm-hmm. So like I like what they do. I like their mission and I like their people. It's just like I feel that I can't give as much as I see all of the people there doing.
But I mean, just because they're doing it, that doesn't mean that you would be expected to do the same thing.
No, it's true. But it's like I wouldn't know for certain. I'm just saying that based on my observations of what seems to be their culture.
But let's say that you're not expected to do that.
I mean, like, I feel like you're saying, like, well, what if it were a perfect scenario? And if it were a perfect scenario, yes, of course. I would go over there. I would take it.
Okay. That's what I wanted. That's where I was trying to go.
What would you change about things right now? Like, you're asking me, like, what would I change essentially about, like, job stuff? Like, what would you change that you have going on right now?
I would have more money. That's it. Like, I would want more money. Like, even if it's just, like, seed money to, like, throw into advertising for my work that's currently existing. And I feel like that would help me have less anxiety as far as producing more things. Because, okay, I was thinking about this morning. I was thinking about my rating on Goodreads. And I'm like, I'm a fucking 4.5 star author. And I'm like, that's not bad. That's actually pretty good. And I'm like, why am I like this? Like, that was like just a frank question I asked myself. It's like, you've thrown yourself out there for strangers to see. You've got like 30 plus reviews per book on your three books. And the results are like at least 4.5. Like, that's the average. Why do you think you're trash? Why are you struggling so hard?
I
mean,
I think that you and I have some of the same neuroses. Yeah. So I think you know the answer.
But I mean, it's hard to remember that when I like look in my Amazon report or my draft to digital, and then it's like, oh, here's like the last 2 months, no one bought anything. And it's like annoying. And it's like, that's not indicative of my quality, my level of, you know, skill. That's just the game. And it's like, I can't really afford to play the game the way everyone else is doing it, because it's like a big marketing tool that people use is like audiobooks. But audiobooks are fucking, they start at $500 to get them, what's the word? To get them recorded.
Transcribed, yeah.
Like, not even, like, I feel like they just give them the book and then they just read it. But it's just like, that's a lot of money to commit just for something that may or may not work. It was like, if I had $500 right now, I would do it. I would pick one of the books and do it. And I feel like my whole life, that's been the answer to all my problems. Money.
Well, maybe money. When I finally pay off all of my vet bill debt and I've freed up, well, and my student loan, because that's almost there. Like, honestly, if the Biden administration would give me that 10 grand that they're talking about, it would be done. It would be over with.
Nice. That wouldn't do shit for me. Much. But
but like once I have all of that paid off, I'm freeing up about $1,700 a month.
Damn.
Yeah, no, a huge chunk of my income is going towards paying off. Like, most of it is the vet bill debt because it was just an astronomical amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I'll have all of that freed up. So what I'm saying is that maybe I'll have it for a birthday present one of these years. Get it, letting you do an audio recording of the book.
Because I'll look forward
like,
to
like an
it.
Extra $1,700 a month.
So crazy. That's so much. Jeez. Jeez. I feel like at my last full-time job, like that's after I had to take a pay cut because the industry was dying. That's like about what I was taking home like per month.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a factor in why I stay where I am is because I make good money.
Mm-hmm.
Like my take home is like, what is it, like $4,200 now, I think?
Don't flex too hard
still,
on this,
and that's still, like,
Jen.
It's, like, high taxes in California, so.
Flex. How much is the tax, though? Like, how much does that take out?
Well, like, what I actually get in my check is something over $7,000. But
per
I get
month?
To take home, yeah, but I get to take home, like, $4,200 or so.
That's painful, too.
It's like it's a little less than half that gets taken out in taxes and all of that. That's what I mean. It's like I stay in my job because it pays me really well.
Mm-hmm. Understandable.
And I get really good benefits and I get really good vacation and sick leave. Like, it's cushy.
Very comfortable.
Even so, it's still not enough to, like, buy a house where I want to buy a house out here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was looking at real estate actually just last night. And, like, there's a lot of houses in... Because, like, I would love to be able to live still in Midtown, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or at least, like, in the surrounding area. And, like, there are some that are in, like, the $300,000 range. But they're, like, shitholes. Like, I look at the pictures, I'm like, oof. Like, that is not aesthetically pleasing.
They need a lot of work.
Most, yeah, they need a lot of work. But, like, most of them, like, it seemed like the average was, like, 700 or 800, with a lot of homes going over $1 million.
God damn.
And there's like, there's no way I can afford that. Like, you say that, like, I have a cushy salary, and I do, but it's not enough to be able to afford a house where I live.
I feel like that's most people.
Yeah.
Like, if you're in the middle of a city, it's gonna be stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And especially since in your city, people from San Francisco are migrating there and driving everything up.
Yep. It's frustrating.
Well, I mean, I don't know. How is that right now? Like, have you heard anything about how that's changing due to COVID?
I mean, I've, like, read articles about how, like, people in really high-cost areas, like, including the Bay Area, are, like, moving, like, honestly, like, out of state. Like,
yeah.
Because, like, the house that they can afford, like, in Idaho or whatever is like 5 times the house that they could afford in California.
Yeah.
So I've heard about that. And I do, like, you know, like I know that being in Sacramento is attractive to people who live in the Bay Area because it's still really easy, relatively, to get down there if you have to be there in person. You just take the train.
It's so long, though. That's a long commute.
Yeah, but it's like the idea would be that you wouldn't have to do that all the time. It would just be every once in a while.
Mm. But I know a lot of people here were talking about moving, like a lot of, like a ton of people. Like they've moved, not out of state initially, but they moved to like Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, some people are talking about moving out of state. And it's like, bye. Like, I hope they stay gone because I really want the price of everything to go down.
Yeah.
people could argue, oh, that means the economy's tanking. Blah, blah. It's like, okay, but it'll be better for the people who actually live here. And they may have to restructure how they do things instead of resting on the backs of like movie stars who have like a stupid ass condo in Manhattan or something, who's only mm-hmm. here like a month out of the year or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just making everything untenable. Like, it's like New York sucks in this way. It's like, it's very untenable for people who actually live who are from here to live here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everything is like, everyone wants to come here because movies, because city that never sleeps. And like, I will always encourage people to visit, but don't move here. It's like, we don't want you here. What is it? I saw a tweet that described, like, they were talking about East Coast versus West Coast, mm-hmm. like personalities that are like, New York is, or East Coast is kind but not nice, and West Coast is nice but not kind. Does that seem accurate to you? It seems accurate to me.
Well, how are you defining nice and kind?
Well, kind, I feel, is doing a thing that may have your best interest in mind, but they don't have to necessarily hold your hand about it. Like, they may not be nice mm-hmm. when they tell you this thing that you need to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And nice but not kind is outwardly seeming like they have your best interest, but not necessarily.
Oh, yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay. Yeah, right, I say that. Okay.
Well, I just, like, thinking about, like, a lot of people think of California as, like, this liberal haven. And, like, certainly, like, I suppose, like, when you compare California to other states in the country, like, it's, you know, the state government is more liberal. There are certainly many pockets of very conservative populations.
Mm-hmm. I brought that up because I was going to say, me saying that is me being kind but not nice. Don't come here. Don't come here. We don't want you here. We can tell when you're not from here. And they may help you out some, but they don't want you here.
Oh, it makes me sad because honestly, like, if I were to move, like, somewhere else in the country, I would definitely consider East Coast.
I feel like you would have to live somewhere less ostentatious and blend in there for a while before you move someplace. Like if I were to, like, if you were going to come here, I would suggest you live someplace like Queens or Brooklyn. No. Someplace like Queens. And then maybe move to Brooklyn later. Because, like, when everyone comes here, they always move to, like, the richest, ritziest, most mm-hmm. up-and-coming neighborhoods. And, like, no one likes that because they do the gentrification. And yeah. They, like, roll everyone out that already lived there. And it sucks.
Yeah.
But it's, like, if you come and you get a feel for the place and then you decide if you want to move to those other places, that's different. Rather than just moving in and just, oh, this is my home. I'm a New Yorker. Like, that's what people do. And it's so cringe. I'm a New Yorker. I've been here like 2 years. It's like, okay. All right.
I can't think of anyone wanting to come to California and say that they're a Californian.
I mean, what does that mean? What's a reputation of a Californian?
Well, like, I feel that, like, to people outside of California, being a Californian is, like, you're either from Southern California or from the Bay Area, like, those types of people.
And what kind of people are those?
Like, I think that people perceive them to be, like, movie stars on the beach or, like, tech bros in Silicon Valley. Like liberal Hollywood elites. That sort of thing.
Ew.
And, like, certainly, like, we have our fair share of tech bros. And certainly we have, like, you know, people living down in LA and stuff like that. Like, Hollywood sorts of people. But that's just a very small portion of the population. Like, I feel that there's not an easy definition of a Californian because California is so fucking huge.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we have so many, like, different kinds of, like, pockets of populations.
Yeah, I mean,
like, people, like, in San Francisco are absolutely nothing like the people in the Central Valley or, like, up north. Like, there's just very different types of populations.
I mean, I feel that's true of, like, most states, even though everyone just lumps, like, people lump New Yorkers together. It's like, we all get cred for surviving 9/11, even though there are people who, like, live upstate, like, 8 hours away and have fucking never been to the city, or they've been to the city, like, once when they were 13. Like, they still get the same kind of cred. Like, we all get lumped together, too. But it's just, like, I was going to say, that's kind of what it means to be a New Yorker. Like, that's what, well, going by other people's interpretations, like, things I've seen other people say, they associate it with being tough and being formidable and able to weather things, like fucking Cuomo. Like, whenever he did his, like, you know, his COVID kind of updates, like, he will talk about, like, New York strong and stuff like that. Like, that's the kind of thing that they associate with being from New York. And it's just, I don't know, it just, it's all propaganda. I guess, I don't, like, I would like to know, like, someone from not in New York who has thought about coming to New York, like, why? Like, outside of reasons that could be related to your industry, like, whatever, like, I honestly don't even remember what kind of, like, we have, like, a melting pot of things. I know we have big, you know, finance things here. But I feel like people come for other things as well. But I don't know exactly what those are. Like, I know we have some tech, but, like, what else?
I feel like there's a romanticization of, like, the arts. Like, people go to New York, at least stereotypically, to be, like, an artist of some kind.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be bigger before. Like, before tech boom and Wall Street boom. Like mostly, like, in the, like, 70s and 80s. Mm-hmm. That was a bigger thing, but it has not been that way for some time. Like, I know there's Broadway and you have all the off-Broadway things, but I feel like you'd be as likely to succeed in California as you would here, like in Southern California.
Well, I think that California is known for that too. Like, I feel that, like, yeah, like Southern California, like, if you want to be in, like, certain, like, visual performing arts sorts of fields, or like musicians or something like that, you move to Southern California.
Yeah, but just that's what I'm saying, like, they could do it there, so why come here? Go there. Oh yeah, one more thing, we're over time, but it's fine, we have like big gaps. It said adult in 20s versus adult in 30s. Like, I'm not sure exactly what that means.
Oh, I don't know either.
I guess how you differ. Like, what were you like as an adult in your 20s versus how you are now? But I mean, everyone should be able to say that they are different from how they were in their 20s and they're currently in their 30s. If you can't, you may need to reexamine what you're doing with yourself.
Like, I mean, most of my 20s were devoted to, like, being in school, like, graduate school, and then teaching.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that, like, defined a lot of my 20s. And so it was, like, I kind of keep coming back to this. Like, I feel that, like, I was just, like, even though there was a, like, I was still, like, inexperienced and stupid in a lot of ways. Like, I just had so much more, like, stamina. Like, I was capable of shouldering so much more. And now it's just, like, no. I can't anymore. I'm too tired.
Burned yourself out.
I mean, the majority, I think it was like, how old was I? Was I 26 when I got separated? So that was like a definition point of my 20s too, was like being in that long-term relationship, being married.
Mm-hmm.
And then just like eschewing that altogether from then on. Like once I was released from that. What about you?
For me, I don't, my 20s were defined by, I guess, expectations. Like I said earlier, like I did not have any future vision beyond finishing college. And then once I finished college, I was like, okay, well, what am I supposed to do now? Finished college and got my job that I had. And I was trying to save money. And it's like, for what? Like, other than just to save money, just to have for, like, a rainy day. I'm trying to figure out how to get an apartment. And it's, like, where my job was, there was nothing, like the job that I had was not enough to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, on top of that, it was like my level of skill from the mixed school I went to was not enough to get a better job. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it was like trying to decide if I wanted to keep up, trying to meet expectations. And it's like, if I was going to progress in that field, I would probably have to go back to school or devote a lot of time to upping my skill set. Because, mm-hmm. like, the issue with being, like, a tech field is that everything is always fucking changing.
Yeah.
And it's like, do I want to keep doing this when I don't really like this? Or do I want to try to do something else?
Mm-hmm.
And when I hit 30, that's when I was like, I want to do something else. Because I felt like if I devoted myself to trying to do more in this tech field, it's like I'd probably be doing that for at least the next 10 years, if not the rest of my life. And like I said, like I kind of hated it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like part of that I know was where I was working. But then part of it was just, I feel like I went into the field that I did because it was easy. Because when I came into the coursework with a base level of knowledge of things like I had taught myself for like my, just like for fun, like, you know, HTML, CSS, yeah. shit like that. And then like on top of that, all they really taught me was like Photoshop, which I could have figured out myself, and a little bit of PHP. And like, this is the issue I had with this mixed school. It's like they give you like a taste of things that you need to know, but not enough to adequately do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, you got to finish it yourself. And it's like, but why am I paying you like $60,000? That doesn't make any sense. And like, I legit wanted to leave, but I felt trapped because I was almost done. And then it was like, there was a debate about, oh, is this an accredited school? Will these credits transfer over? And I was like, you know what? I just want to get done and then figure out what I'm going to do from there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, expectations, trying to meet expectations. And then me now is just fuck expectations. Leave me alone. Don't even look at me. And that's pretty much where I am. I feel like, I don't know, I feel my mental health is better because of that. Like, approaching things that way.
Yeah, like, I think that is a good approach. Like, you're just doing what makes you happy and what you find fulfilling. And, yeah, I think that's a good way to approach life.
Now I just got to figure out the last little piece of the puzzle, which is how to make more money doing this mm-hmm. thing. Doing this thing without compromising. Like, we could do... the writing episode soon. And it's like, it doesn't even have to be about directly writing, but with all the shit I have to deal with in trying to make money doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And how shitty the genre is and whatnot, what have you. So here's one that wasn't on there. If you could tell your younger self something about your older self or about growing older and becoming an adult, like, do you have any words of wisdom that you would share?
I'm not sure. What would you have? Like, what would you say to your younger self?
Like, stick to your guns. Because, like, when I went to this school, it was, like, to get out of my house. That was, like, mm-hmm. that was, like, more than this education thing. I need to get out of my house. But it's, like, my initial plan, which I had to try to form on the fly by myself, because like my school counselor, like my high school was shitty too, and that the counselor offered me no help. My parents did not, like, I'm like the first person in my family to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
It was like me and like I have a cousin ahead of me, like it was just us two. And like I said, I had no kind of help. So like my plan was to stay in the city, stay home for like 2 years and go to like a state school.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, get my credits up and find someplace else to go. And I would also be working and trying to save money. And just for whatever reason, on top of everything else, like my father was just really opposed to that. I think it's mostly because I came up with the idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't work out that way. But that would have worked out better for me than what I ended up doing.
Mm-hmm. So just telling your younger self to that was a good idea and to stick with it.
Yeah, like stay the course.
Mm-hmm.
Like granted, like I would tell her that, and then still try to figure out how to make the friends that I made at the school. Because it's like, if I didn't go to that school, I wouldn't have met Two Beards and Tess.
Yeah.
And I love them. So I don't know what I would do if I didn't have them.
I think maybe, like, I would tell myself that something about, like not worrying so much that you're going to disappoint others and to do what you feel is actually right for you. And when, like, you have these gut feelings that something isn't right, don't ignore it because you feel that you just need to do what you are supposed to do.
That's good advice.
Like, I feel that a lot of my decisions when I was younger were based on what I felt my responsibilities were. Disappointing other people. Yeah, not wanting to disappoint others.
Which is always a terrible reason to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Other people's opinions. I think that's a good place to end.
Yeah. So this was a bit of a meandering episode.
Yeah, we were all over the place with this one.
But I still think we hit our points that we wanted to hit about the concept of being an adult and the expectations and of what we thought we were going to do versus what actually ended up happening and our thoughts around that. So I think the overall was a success, even though it went all over the place.
Yeah. So let us know what you think. Hit us up on social media or our website, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
You've just listened to We're Disappointed. Intro music is Feels Bad by Strongsuit. Outro music is Decisions by Dream Heaven. You can find them on the Free Music Archive and Pixabay. If you have something that disappoints you, you can send us a line at We're Disappointed on Twitter and Instagram, or our website at WeareDisappointed.com, and we can be disappointed together in future shows. Thanks for listening.